Lord. Isn't God good to us? It's good to know the advocate. It's good to know the judge. And it's good to have our sins pardoned. This morning, if you would, I'd like you to turn your Bible to Luke 18. Luke 18. And this will be a familiar passage to you. We hear a lot today about people being self-righteous. And you probably, in your mind, someone comes to your mind, probably in mine as well. Sometimes we're the ones who's self-righteous, though, isn't it? It's interesting. It's easy to find faults in everyone else's. It's easy to find the imperfections in everyone else's life. It's very difficult to find it in our own, because even in our self-preservation, right, we want to preserve our integrity, our reputation. We want to think of ourselves. The Bible says we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. But if we're honest, that's really what's being promoted today, right? You hear a lot about self-confidence. You want to teach kids to be confident in themselves. The problem with that is I'll fail myself. Others will fail us. And we're very aware, Brother Matt, of how others fail us. But I've failed myself more than others have failed me. And so to put our confidence in self, a lot of times will cause us to be discontent because we fail so much. And if we're honest, you have to get up, look yourself in the mirror. Nobody has to tell you all your faults and failures if you're honest. Good. Then there are those that repent.
That's right.
And that's different. That is observing what is wrong and confessing it. But then it is to change our action. Change the way we think about it, right? And you'll never change an action until you change the way you think about things. And so in Luke 18, in verse number 9, the Bible said he spake this parable unto certain, notice this, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Didn't say they trusted in the Lord. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. A lot of times those things go with hand in hand. The more highly we think of ourselves, the less we think of others.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so he goes on to say in verse 10, two men went up in the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. He's saying a mouthful right then. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Well, he is really telling on himself, right? Because in just a few verses, Jesus is going to exalt this publican. He said, I'm not like that guy. And he said, you're right, you're not. Right? He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, that's funny. He's doing more than most Baptists that say they're saved would do. I don't know too many Baptists that have ever tithed on fasted on purpose in their whole life.
Come on, right?
Right? Come on. But he says, I tithe everything on. And Jesus didn't call him a liar.
Right?
Right?
That's right.
So that must not be the indication of being righteous. Those are good things to do, by the way. Fasting is good and tithing is a good practice and something we should do. But just because you do those outwardly things does not mean you're right with God.
Amen.
Right? And the Bible said in verse 13, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Glory to God. Amen.
Do you notice that everything Jesus says is contrary to worldly wisdom?
Yes, sir.
Right? The world says exalt ourselves. Matter of fact, we have entire platforms for that now. Right? Make much of yourself. Have a following. Have people that want to be like you. Right? That's what he's saying. Jesus said that wasn't the way. And so one of the greatest barriers to being in a right relationship with God is self-righteousness.
Yes, sir.
The idea that we are good enough or at least better than someone else. And that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? I mean, when we're not willing to confess before the Lord, listen to what I'm saying, who already knows your sin. It's not like the Lord looks on you and goes, when you confess your sin, God goes, that took me by surprise. I didn't know that about you, right? He knows the very intent of our heart. And he's saying that if we confess our sins, I mean, he already knows, but he's still saying if we'll confess it, he'll forgive us. And yet we still won't do it. Why is that? Because there's this thing called pride. And we look and say, if I don't admit it, then it's not true.
Right.
That's like saying, if I don't believe in gravity, if I fall off a building, I will not be a pancake on the sidewalk. It just, mind over matter, right? You can have all the mind over matter you want, but if you jump off the Empire State Building, you're not going to make it. And so the idea we're good enough, or at least better than someone else, because he looked and said, I'm not as this guy, right? And that's what we like to do. As long as I can find someone under me, I don't feel as bad. But here's the thing. You're never going to get right with God until you are the one on the bottom. I'm glad to see you at church, but man, being at church is not going to get you right with God. I'm glad if you fast, but praise God, you can fast all you want to and not be right with God. I thank God for you tithing and giving to missions, but friend, listen, it's not, we tithe and give to missions out of our right relationship with God, not to obtain one. The only way for us to be right with the Lord is to be real honest with ourselves and confess what He already knows about us. So this is the parable the Lord presents with us with today. A self-righteous Pharisee and a self-confessed publican, we are all one or the other. See, there's no middle ground. We like to hang out in the gray areas, don't we? Well, I'm not that Pharisee, praise God, but I'm not that publican. I'm somewhere in the middle. You're not in the middle. Today you're either saved or lost. You're either right with God or not right with God. You're either righteous or not righteous. You're either humble or proud. You're not in the middle somewhere. See, that makes us feel better, but that's not truth. It's either truth or error, right? Well, I just told a little white lie. Well, that's still a lie, right? 99% truth, 1% error is still untruth. And that's what we have to understand about the Lord. He doesn't tell the truth. He is truth. He's just speaking who He is. And so in this scripture, we just have to come to terms with who we really are. Now, I'm not preaching down to you. Understand this. I'm not standing over you, well, every one of you needs to get right with God. I don't know your relationship with the Lord. But I do know this. I do know what the scripture says. And you and I, listen to me. I'm going to get real with you. Can I?
Yes, sir.
Brother Fred preached last week. He's so sweet. I'm just going to get real with you. A lot of our problems sitting in this auditorium, I told somebody that, I said, God's doing something in our church, praise God. What's sitting in the pew while standing in the pulpit, our problem is this. We just don't want to do business with God. We like to hang out in that gray area, right? Well, I'm not the best Christian I know, but I'm not the worst. If I were to ask you, and don't tell me and don't raise your hand, but if I'd say, if you were to rate your walk with God, how close you are to the Lord today on a scale from 1 to 10, I'll almost guarantee you, most people in here would be in the area of 4 to 7. Right? 4 to 7. Why? The middle. I'm not the best Christian I know. Brother Russell, I know I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. But I ain't way down there either. Right? You ask anybody, how's your walk with the Lord? You know what the go-to is? Well, it's not where it needs to be. Well, all of us say that, right? But we're still not being honest. And so, in order to be righteous with the Lord, we've got to look at ourselves. And automatically, you're probably in here saying, yeah, I know some people need to get right themselves. They need to get right with God. I know some people need to get honest with themselves. Can I help you? You're the one.
Yes.
I mean, if you've got that attitude that you're thinking already,
yes,
somebody needs to get honest with God. You're the one that needs to get honest with God today. So here in this scripture, what is the Lord trying to tell us? Let me give you three things. He deals, first of all, number one, with the righteousness of the Pharisee. Think about what he's saying here. The Pharisee thinks he's righteous. And the Lord's going to deal with it. Verse 9, he says he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Well who gets to determine that?
Right?
Somebody, somewhere there has to be a standard. Somewhere there has to be a plumb line, right? And we live in a day where nobody wants that. It's like, well, I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes. I'm going to do what's right for me. Right? I'm going to do what I think is right. Here's the problem. You go in the Old Testament, they already tried that. That men did what was right in what? Their own eyes. And what did it lead to? Chaos. Judgment. Right? So there has to be some kind of document. There has to be some kind of law, if you want to call it that, right? Some kind of, let's rephrase it, some kind of word. It's called His Word. That sets what is righteous and what is not. Because if I were to ask you, do you consider yourself righteous? You'd say, well, sure. I'm not as righteous as I should be, right? But I'm more righteous than so-and-so. It's easy to stand that gray area. So we got to figure out what God is saying is righteous. Can we agree? Because in your mind, in my mind, we have this standard. Well, as long as you're not cheating on your wife, as long as you're not stealing from the government. Well, maybe that's probably not a good example, right? Yeah, there are certain things we look at and go, as long as they're not doing these things, murder, doing drugs, whatever it is, you're okay. Because there are people that are doing that, which means we're better than they are.
Right.
But have you ever compared yourself to someone that wasn't doing the things that you're doing?
Right.
We don't do that, Brother Matt, right? So the righteousness of the Pharisee in verse 9, he's trusting in himself. The Bible said in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. Well, that sounds good, right? The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. So here's what the Lord said, right? He deals with the prayer of the Pharisee. Now, the Bible says this, pray thus with himself. What does that mean? That word with means, it means this, about himself.
Right.
He wasn't even praying.
Yes.
He was exalting himself in this religious act of prayer. How many times have I heard that? Man, listen, we got to be real careful, Brother Dan, when we pray. Because if we're not, we lose the whole spirit of praying. We miss the whole reason of praying. You don't have to convince God who you are. Now, Lord, I just want to thank you for saving me. And I want to thank you I'm no longer an alcoholic. And I want to thank you that I'm no longer this and no longer that. And I don't do this anymore. And we're just telling God all that we don't do anymore. And I thank you, Lord, that I've got such a great burden for the lost. And I love missions. And I'm doing it. And our whole prayer time is not worship. It is about bragging to God who we are. Time out. He don't need your help.
Preach on.
He doesn't need your help. He knows who you are. When you do something for Him, He knows all about it. You don't have to pat yourself on the back.
Right.
You don't have to announce
yes,
it.
Sir.
God already knows
Amen.
Who you are. So this prayer of the Pharisee, this word with me, he's praying about himself. He's not even praying to God. He's just wanting everybody in earshot to know who he is.
Right.
He made this prayer for everyone to hear. He said, God, I thank thee. He said, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I can hear him now, can't you? I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And I'm not even like that publican right there. He made it for everyone to hear. Man, I like to hear good praying, but I don't like to hear rehearsed praying. Amen. I'd rather you just lift your head to God and say, God, I love you, than to have this big elaborate prayer that means that. And if that big elaborate prayer means something to you, praise God, I'll hang with you. But don't show. Don't sing for show. Don't pray for show. Don't preach for show. All that we do should simply be worship to God. And so the fact is, he stood means it was a showy position. You got this man standing up and you got this man who's bowing down. The posture of prayer is not about look at me. The posture of prayer is look at him. It wasn't a prayer at all, but more of a highlight reel of his own righteousness. You don't even have to pray like that now. You got a page for it. Right? We got pages for it. And again, I say it often, but I'm so amazed at people that call themselves Christians and some of the stuff they put on their page. How self-exalting it is. How worldly it is. And I'm not used to use the word worldly, and it meant having improper things on there. But now it's a way of thinking.
Yes, sir.
Me.
That's right.
Me. Me.
Yes, sir.
Take care of me. Look at me. Exalt me. Make much of me. Right? Just filter this. Filter anything that you think you're going to post. But Paul, I never thought 20 years ago. I never thought when I started pastoring 20 years ago, I was going to have to do a message on this. Or even mention it, Brother Eddie, that I'd have to talk in service. And I know some of you are going to preach, why don't you just get off the Facebook thing? Because you won't get off of it.
That's right. Preach on, preacher. Amen. That's good.
It is a great tool to exalt Christ if you'd use it for that. Yeah. Not pity me, not poor me, not look at me, not look at us. What about him?
Yeah.
John the Baptist.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
John 3:30. You know what he said? He said, I got to decrease.
That's right.
He's got to increase.
Yes.
That's all that matters, folks.
Yeah.
Does he get the glory or not?
Yes, sir.
And the prayer of the Pharisee was not about anybody knowing the Lord more or exalting him or even confession. It was just, look at me. It wasn't a prayer at all. It was more of a highlight reel. Look at this. Look at this. So here's what it did. The pride of the Pharisee. Let me say this, being grateful will help guard against self-righteousness. See, this pride, this glorification of self. In other words, he was his own hero. If he wrote a superhero movie, he'd be the dude in the cape. Right? He's just going, look at me, look at me, look at that guy, look at me, right? So he was his own hero. His comparison was not to the Lord. His comparison was to someone he thought that was less of him. His comparison wasn't even to someone who he thought was a better Christian than him. He found somebody that he was like, I ain't like him.
That's right.
Right? And so look at what he said. He said, now watch, this is interesting. He said, I thank thee that I am not as other men. Or, here's what he said, extortioner. The word extortioner means to take things by violence. Now, I don't know. I mean, maybe things were different back in those days. But I'm guessing in our church service this morning, and I may be wrong, the police may break in here and take somebody off to jail. But I don't think anybody in here is guilty of taking things from people by force. Right? I mean, you see how ridiculous this is?
Yes, sir.
He's basically in church, but then he's praying, saying, I thank God I'm not as other people are, and I take things by force. Well, that's kind of a low bar, isn't it?
Right.
He's not a crook. He's not He's not robbing people. Praise God. You say, I can get that. Amen. But look what else he said. I'm not unjust. Means unfair in treatment. He treats people pretty good, right? Watch this. I'm not an adulterer. Cool, man. You mean you don't cheat on your wife? You love Jesus, right? I mean, that's what he's saying. Look, he's not saying, look, Lord, I'm sorry that I did this, and I'm sorry that maybe I've had pride, or I'm sorry that I've had bitterness, right? He's not saying any of that. He's saying, I'm not, I don't kill people. I don't cheat on my wife. I'm not as this publican, this dirty, stinking publican, right? I'm not like him. Give me it. Come on. You're right. Ooh, that's not what Jesus said. He said, I fast twice a week. Good for you. You know what? You know what he is? A hungry Pharisee. That's all that meant. It didn't mean he's the, it didn't mean it. It was an act of worship to God. He was just a hungry old Pharisee, right? I tithe off everything, right? Wonderful. You know what he was? A broke Pharisee. He wasn't impressing the Lord at all. How we doing? Then he goes on to say this. He talks about, number two, the repentance of the publican. He said the publican, verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Yes, glory to God.
So in this scripture, you see his humility. The Bible said he's standing afar off. He said, I'm not even really worthy to come near where you are. I'm not even worthy to get near you, Lord. You know what? The closer you get to the Lord, the bigger you'll see how big he is. You'll see how holy he is and how unholy we are. Listen, I know we got a little bit of snow, right? Can't say it didn't snow. You ever remember back in the good old days when we used to get some good snows? Some of these kids are going, what are you talking about? I'm talking about like you could sled for days. They didn't put that old stinking brine on the road. I don't know who come up with that, but he wasn't saved. Back in old days, man, if it snowed 6 or 8 inches, that stuff hang around for 2 or 3 days. Now, oh, help us. But you ever have it snow at night? Man, you walk out and you look out the window the next morning. It looks so clean, doesn't it? Then if you got kids, them stinking kids won't get out in the snow and play. They got mud on their feet. Next, all that beautiful snow, muddied up, right? Then the snow plow. I mean, I'm getting depressed thinking about it. That's how you got to see yourself. Not this fluffy, beautiful, look how snowy I am, and look at. But this dirty, nasty thing. And here's the lovely Lamb of God without spot or blemish. See, that's the only way he could die for you and me. He had to be without spot or blemish. They brought him in, right? They put him before the authorities. They examined him and they said, I find no fault in him. See, he was the only one worthy to pay for your sin and mine. And this man here understood who he was. He was the dirty, nasty guy that could not even come close to that beautiful pureness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come bebopping, popping our gum. Bless me if you can, God. Huh? What God honors is humility, right? And so he comes in and he stands afar off. It shows his humility. You see that he was contrite. In other words, he was sorry for his sins. He matter of fact, he says, he wouldn't lift up his eyes, but smote upon his breast. He stood afar off because he felt unworthy of being in the presence of the Lord. And he prayed with his head down in shame. Then you see his honesty. He smote his breast or struck himself continually. And we look at that as understanding just how unworthy we are. He was expressing intense grief and sorrow over his sin. He was not blind to his condition. He was honest and he asked for mercy and atonement. And that's the only way we can really approach the holy Lamb of God, is to see ourselves as we really are and ask for mercy and ask for forgiveness, because we can't save ourselves and we're not really worthy to come unto Him without the blood of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, if you'll come and just call on His name and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. He said in His Word, He'd save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here today and you are saved and you're not in that right relationship with Him, don't find someone else and say, at least I'm not that guy. Look in the mirror at yourself and say, God, there's a lot of imperfections and there's a lot of sin and there's a lot of work to be done, and I'm trusting You because I can't do it. He is admitting he is the worst sinner. Now, I'm going to put this in perspective for you. I've said this often. I think, it's my opinion, I think you'd probably have to agree, Paul the Apostle is potentially the greatest Christian that's walked on the face of the earth. Now, you say John the Baptist, I wouldn't disagree with that either. Okay? But between the two of them, I'd say, when you look, they're probably, right? Remember what Paul called himself? The chiefest of sinners.
That's right.
How are we doing now?
Right.
Here's a man, two things. God entrusted him to pin down most of our New Testament. That's pretty high honor. You and I most likely are sitting here in a church in Gentile land because of Paul the Apostle. God, as far as we know, entrusted him to see things in the heavens that you and I cannot even imagine. Right? Yet he calls himself chiefest of sinners.
That's right.
I don't know how y'all doing. I ain't doing too good right now. Because I feel good when I get my 5 or 10 pages in my Bible study. I'm going, right? Brother, I hand out a few tracts. I'm like, you did see that, right? I get a message. I'm like, I took some studying right there. You caught that, right? Here's a man that, by all account, greatest Christian we'll ever know. And he said, I'm the chiefest. I'm the worst.
Yes, sir.
Then number three, the pardon of the publican. Luke verse 14. Now here we have it. This religious guy over here. Everybody looked at him. Outwardly, right? He looked like the man. He looked like the Christian. The picture perfect. Huh? Over here, this guy. He'd probably walk in church. People go, what you been into? You got one standing up the altar. Lord, congregation, Right?
Right.
You got another one? Crawling up the aisle.
Yes,
I hope nobody's looking at me.
Yes, sir.
Over there in the corner. Right?
Right.
People would look at this guy and go, boy, he loves Jesus. He loves the Lord. I mean, he's at every service. He goes to revival meeting. He goes to tent meeting. He prays. He's so eloquent when I love to hear him pray. And here's a guy over here nobody's even paid attention to. Doing business with God. The Lord said in verse 14, he said, I tell you, watch, this man, this man, went down to his house justified rather than the other.
That's right.
For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased.
Yes.
And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Glory to God.
Is that powerful?
Yes, sir.
This guy, he's got his reward.
Yes, he does.
This guy, his best days are ahead of him.
Amen.
See, what happened to this guy was he was not justified. In other words, he was his own judge, advocate, and jury. Problem is, he was not authorized to be any of those things. This man over here just threw himself on the mercy of the judge. And the judge said, I've got something that'll pay for your sin. In other words, he was exonerated. He was justified. He was forgiven. His sin is not attached to him any longer. This guy's going to carry his baggage around till he does what that guy did.
That's right.
Amen. And listen to me, church. This guy's sin over here is taken care of at Calvary.
Yes.
It's paid for. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the eternal life.
Yes.
His sins were taken care of at Calvary. This guy, if he doesn't repent and come to Jesus, he'll pay for his sin for all of eternity, but the bill will never be satisfied.
Right.
And you and I are the same way.
Yes.
So see, he was exonerated. Hey, he's good. Then he was exalted.
Yes.
Notice what the Bible said. He said, everyone that exalteth himself, this guy will be abased. One day, you know what? Hey, the Lord's going to say this. Depart from me. I never knew you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, it doesn't matter what people think of you now. Now, I've got to be careful because I know how people... That's exactly right, preacher. I don't care what nobody thinks of me. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You just try to prove like you don't, right? I'm going to show everybody. I'm going to tell them what I think because I don't care what anybody thinks of me. Yes, you do, or you'd keep your mouth shut. I do. I care what people think of me. Why? Because I represent Him. But listen, one day, all the people that's over here, look at me, look at me, look at me. Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we have church in your name? Didn't we send missionaries in your name? Didn't we do all these wonderful things, run buses? We did all those for you. And he's just going to say this, depart. I never knew you. You can do all the right things, folks. But you got to have a relationship with
Come
Him.
Come on, preach on, preacher. Yes, sir.
This guy over here, maybe he never preached a message, never taught a Sunday school class. Maybe he never handed out a tract. I don't know. But he had an encounter with God.
Yes.
See, when you have a true encounter with God, you won't be like that. When God shows you how high and holy He really is, how unworthy we really are, we'll have to come to Him like this guy over here.
Amen.
So this morning, you're either one or the other. You're not in the middle.
That's right.
You're either self-righteous or you're repentant.
Amen.
Here's a good thing. God gives you a choice, doesn't He? This morning, you get to choose. You say, I'm not choosing. Then you chose. Right?
That's right.
You can't not do something with the Word of God. You either have to say yay or nay. I want to just. I'm not getting into it. I'm just going to be in the middle. Nope. Let me ask you this. Let's say you decide. Because here's what we do. We think if I don't denounce him, but I don't proclaim him, I'm just not doing anything. No, no. See, you're either alive or dead.
That's right.
You can't go in the hospital and say, listen, I know that you got to take me off this life support. I don't want to be on life support anymore. But I choose not to be alive or dead.
Right.
We don't do this. You're going to die. Mm-mm. Nope, I choose not to. You got to figure one or the other.
Right.
And if you don't choose life, by process of elimination, you're choosing death, correct? If you don't choose Jesus, you're not just staying neutral, right? You look at John chapter 3, we quote John 3:16, right? How many love that verse? I do. Let's look at it. Let's look at it real quick. I'm done. John chapter 3. Here's what he said. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How many would say you love that verse? Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How many like that verse? Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you're already condemned. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you're already going to hell. What Jesus is saying is you don't have to, and I'm providing a way for you not to go. But you can't go thinking you're good enough. You got to go thinking he's good enough.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So you can either be self-righteous or righteous. But his righteousness comes through repentance.
That's
of
right.
Being like this publican.
Amen.
So I want you to stand with me this morning. Bow our heads. No one's looking around. If it would do any good, I would beg you this morning. I would beg you, if you're not a Christian, to get saved. To ask the Lord Jesus to save you. If I could, I'd beg you, if you're a Christian, that you'd say, God, I've compared myself to all these other people, but I stopped comparing myself to you. And I've gotten a little too high and mighty. And I want to be in a right relationship with you. Then you're on the altar. Let me ask you this. By an uplifted hand, no one's looking around, I won't come to you, but you just find an uplifted hand and say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. And I want you to pray for me.
Yep.
I'd like to do that.
Yep.
Would you do that? You just put your hand up and you can put it right back down. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Is there another? Just be honest. That's the only thing that's going to get better, is to be honest.
Yes.
Is there another? Thank you. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. Father, thank you for the precious souls that raised their hand this morning. It took courage to do that. I pray in this invitation time, Lord, that you give them the confidence and comfort to maybe step out of their seat so we can just show them through your word how they can know they're on the way to heaven. Thank you for their honesty. May others be honest with themselves too in this invitation time. Listen, she's going to continue to play. There's people all over the altar praying. Would you do this if you slipped your hand up or you didn't? But in your heart, you've got questions. Would you just step out of your seat and come? And listen, we're not trying to indoctrinate you. We just want to take the Bible and show you some scripture on how you can know where you'll spend eternity. You raised your hand, you didn't. It's all right. Here's what the devil do. He'll say, you don't need to go. You don't need to go. And if the Lord tells you, come, come. Would you come? Maybe you didn't raise your hand. Maybe in your heart you know you're saved, but your relationship with the Lord just isn't what it should be. Let's get that right this morning. You will not have joy and peace until things are right with God. You'll never make enough money. You'll never have enough stuff. You'll never have enough friends that will give you the joy and peace God can give you this morning. Would you come? Whatever your need, you come. Lord, I love you and I thank you for what you've done in our midst today. Thank you for the honesty. Not just with those that raised their hand, but others have been honest here today. Thank you for your long-suffering, your mercy, your kindness to us. And I do again pray for those that slipped their hand up, those that maybe didn't. God, just continue to speak to their hearts until they get things right with you and know beyond the shadow of a doubt where they'll spend eternity. Thank you again for what you've done here today. In Jesus' name we pray.